শ্রী গোপী জনবল্লভ গিরিবরধারী। যে রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবরধারী। যশোদানন্দন প্রচন রঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন প্রচন রঞ্জন যমুনা থিরা বনচারী, যমুনা থিরা বনচারী। যে রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, গোপী জন বল্লভ গিরিবরধারী। যশোদানন্দন প্রচন রঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন প্রচন রঞ্জন যমুনা থিরা বনচারী। যে রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, গোপী জন বল্লভ গিরিবরধারী। হরি কৃষ্ণ হরি কৃষ্ণ 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 হরি হরি, হরি রাম হরি রাম 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 হরি হরি। হরি কৃষ্ণ হরি কৃষ্ণ 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 হরি হরি, হরি রাম হরি রাম 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 হরি হরি। Oh, Jnantimidandasya Jnananjana chalakaya chakshurun militam yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyate Shatharine Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you, each of you, for being here today. This morning, our Gauranga Prabhu has given a, just as I said his name, he has appeared also, a brilliant, comprehensive discussion about the incredible contributions of Sri Jiva Goswami. And just prior to me coming on this little stage, our very beloved Radhika Raman Prabhu is giving a heart-melting, erudite, thrilling explanation of the qualities of Srila Jiva Goswami. And there's nothing left for me to say. But you're all looking at me in a way to say something. So, in your service, I'd like to share some of the historical explanations of the life of Sri Jiva Goswami as are given to us by Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and the Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Chakravarti. And within the context of his life, we learn so much about what was the driving force within him that had such a profound impact on the whole world. Lord Chaitanya taught Mahajano Yena Gadasa Bandha. To understand who is Krishna, or in broader terms of interfaith, in order to understand what is the supreme truth and how to achieve that supreme truth. It's not possible through studying vast literatures on philosophy, logic. It's not possible by giving profound charity. It's not possible by fasting, giving up all physical pleasures, living in a cave in the forest. It's not possible to understand even by lifetimes of sadhana. But the Supreme Truth reveals Himself to those who follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Because through their teachings, we understand which way to go. But how to get there, they teach by their lives, their character, their qualities. We have learned from Radhika Raman that Jiva Goswami, whose disappearance day we are celebrating today, was one of the greatest, most celebrated philosophers in the history of humanity. But to understand the philosophy he's teaching cannot just be through a refinement of our intellect, because spiritual subjects just cannot be understood in that way. When God reveals Himself, Samsidhir Haritoshanam, when He's pleased with us, then we can understand. There are some historians that say that Jiva Goswami, when he was a tiny child, witnessed his father and his uncle in their first meeting with Sri Chaitanya. It's not only the parampara or the lineage of knowledge that he fully embraced and shared eloquently, but it was the spirit of devotion. His father was Anupam, and his uncles were at that time Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. One was the prime minister of an enormous kingdom, and the other was the home minister. At that time, Bengal was under the Mughal Empire. And still, these two persons, they were so learned and so expert and so good character that the Nawab Husain Shah, the Mughal king, he understood, if these people represent me, everyone will follow. Because everyone loves them. So they took that role for various reasons, as a service. And they did it so well, they were invested with so much power and influence over every person. The king shared his wealth, palaces. By today's calculations, they were multi-billionaires. They had everything. But they considered themselves very poor, because they understood in our lives, if our beloved Lord is not pleased, then there's no value to anything else. Srila Prabhupada, he gave an example that material acquisitions are like zeros.
You could have 1 zero, or you could have a line of 10 zeros, or 100 zeros, or 1,000 zeros. And you could spend your entire life collecting zeros. But ultimately, they all add up to zero. But if you put a one in front, then all the zeros increase the value. All that you know, all that you have, if you do it in a spirit of knowledge and service to the Lord, it has great value. So they were feeling a great sense of urgency. They wanted that spiritual connection. And even their mothers and fathers, they were not proud of them because they were billionaires and because they were so intelligent, because they had so many followers. They were praying to God, please save him. And they heard about Lord Chaitanya. And because of the sincerity of their heart, the Lord within their heart gave them the understanding to know that he's Krishna. He's the Lord who has incarnated within this world. And they wrote a letter to him. Please tell us what to do. We're wasting our life completely absorbed in all of these material things. And he never answered. They kept writing. Now this is quite humble itself, because Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi. That means he had no home. He had no wealth. He was a renunciate. He had just walked around for 2 years in South India barefoot. He would beg door to door for food. And here are billionaires who are the heads of government, and they're writing to him, and he's not answering. And they just kept writing to him. And they were thinking, we're so useless, that's why he's not answering. And then he answered with one sentence, which essentially said to be patient. Just carry on with what you're doing and be patient. Because Krishna knows. So then Lord Chaitanya was a great expected desire he had to visit Vrindavan. And on the way, he took a detour, and nobody knew why he was taking this detour. But nobody asked, and everyone was so happy chanting and dancing with him that nobody cared. And he brought it to Ramkeli, the capital. And by the time he came there, there were hundreds and thousands of people chanting and dancing with him. And late at night, when he went to a place to rest, Dabir Kas, Sukar Malik, and Anupam, they disguised themselves and went to meet him. And there's an elaborate explanation of this first meeting. Although they had everything any person could possibly want in this world and more, still, they presented themselves as most fallen, most unqualified, and it was coming from their hearts. So much so that Lord Chaitanya, he said, please stop speaking with such humility because it's breaking my heart. I've come here just for you. And he accepted them as his disciples. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Anupam, who was Ballabha. And this incredible interaction of humility, devotion, surrender was witnessed by Jiva Goswami as a little boy. Because things that happen when you're really small could have a deep impact. So just soon after that, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Anupam left their government service to go to Vrindavan to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And during travels, Rupa Goswami, one of his uncles, Sanatan Goswami, was put in prison for some time. Then he had to escape. He was a convict from prime minister one day. He's an escaped convict the next day, who has absolutely nothing, barefoot, traveling through forests secretly. And in those days, forests were forests. There was lots of, because this is Bengal, so Bengali tigers and panthers and leopards and snakes, and I'm sure there was lots of mosquitoes. And they went to Vrindavan, and then they heard Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, so they were traveling back to Puri, and when they were back in Bengal on the banks of the Ganges, Jiva Goswami's father Anupam died. And Jiva Goswami was with his mother and other relatives. He was yearning and longing to follow his father and uncles, even as a small child. And when he heard his father was passed away, he was crying and crying. He would make little forms of Krishna and Balaram, deities. And while so many little children were playing so many games with balls, and in those days especially, they would take fruits that looked like balls and throw them at each other and have so many different contests, he would take the fruits and offer them to Krishna and Balaram. He would collect flowers and make garlands for Krishna Balaram. He would get foods and offer them to Krishna and Balaram. He would dress them. He was totally absorbed. And he would get his little playmates. Yeah. Like him. I do well. This is the most awake I've seen any of you in the whole class. Thank you, my child. And he would bring all his little playmates to help him make garlands and help him to offer things and huff. They would sing and they would dance for Krishna and Balaram. He was so much feeling love for Krishna and Balaram, these old deities, that even when he would go to sleep, he would clasp them, embrace them to his heart, and fall asleep for the night. And he would yearn. Even as a little boy, he would cry. I want to go to Vrindavan with my uncles. And he knew the way they were living. They were homeless, living under trees, begging for the simplest of foods. And Vrindavan's very hot in the summer and very cold in the winter. But he understood the love of Krishna, the love for Sri Chaitanya that they possessed, was the most valuable, precious thing in all of creation and beyond. One day, when he was resting, he had a beautiful dream. He saw Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and Advaita and Srivas and Gadadhar and all of those, his associates, and there were hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. They were all singing Radharani and Krishna's holy names and dancing and crying. And little Jiva was, all his desires were being fulfilled by seeing this. Suddenly the dream disappeared. And just as he felt happy when he saw the dream, when it was gone, he felt a transcendental form of distress. And he woke up. And then he fell back asleep. And he had another dream. In that dream, Krishna and Balaram, in the form of his deities, appeared to him. And they manifested the forms of Krishna and Balaram. Krishna with a beautiful complexion like a monsoon rain cloud, and Balaram like a spring cloud. And right before his eyes, Lord Balaram became Nityananda Prabhu. And Krishna became Lord Chaitanya. And he fell down, bowed down, and offered the tears of his love, his gratitude, his life to them. And Lord Chaitanya told him that you are the property of Lord Nityananda. And he said to Nityananda Prabhu, now he is yours. And Nityananda Prabhu said to Jiva Goswami, Lord Chaitanya is your life and soul. And then he woke up. And after this, he was just a teenager coming to that age. And he was already a great scholar. He was so brilliant in his studies. But he really wasn't interested in anything except the story about, except knowledge that brought one to love of God. So he told his relatives he was going to a particular place, a place of his ancestral home, where he would further his studies. And he got on the boat. The family said goodbye, please come back soon. And he told the boatman, take me to Navadweep. The boatman took him to Navadweep, the blessed place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that holy place. He went on the bank of the Ganges. He took his bath. He started walking around and seeing so many great devotees of the Lord. And he was showing him certain holy places. And then he heard that Nityananda Prabhu was there at the house of Srivas. And Nityananda said to Srivas, Jiva Goswami, little Jiva, the nephew of Rupa Sanatan is coming. And when he came before Nityananda Prabhu blessed him. Thakur Bhaktivinoda wrote a whole book called the Navadvipam Mahatma, which describes Nityananda taking Jiva to all the holy places of Mayapur Navadvip. The first place they went was Lord Chaitanya's birth site, the Yoga Peet. And there Lord Chaitanya's mother, Sachi Devi, was with his ex-consort, Vishnu Priya. And they were both crying in separation from their beloved Lord, but when they saw little Jiva, they became so happy. And he respected them and honored them with such humility, such sincerity, that from their hearts just was flooding over with blessings that were showering upon him. They personally cooked for him. They personally fed him. They personally blessed him, told wonderful stories to him. This is an important example in Jiva Goswami's life. That real knowledge enables us to understand the value of receiving blessings. Because without those blessings, our knowledge is like an empty husk. It could look like a very nice husk, but if there's nothing inside, there's no substance. He became dear to everyone. When Nityananda Prabhu took him around Navadvip, he was introducing him to so many devotees, and he was so humbly begging for blessings and eager to serve them, and his qualities just attracted everyone to bless him more and more and more. And then Nityananda Prabhu told him, you should go to Vrindavan, because our beloved Sri Gauranga has given a place to live forever for your family. And your uncles are waiting for you there. But before you go to Vrindavan, go to Varanasi. And Radhika Raman Prabhu has eloquently explained the situation of Varanasi. And Nityananda Prabhu said, there in Varanasi you should... Hare Hare. That's kind of what goes on in Varanasi. Goes on everywhere. He said, while there you should study the scriptures from Madhusudan Vachaspati, who was a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And after thoroughly studying from him, then go to Vrindavan. So Jiva went to Varanasi and spent several years there studying, but in such a spirit of service. How much he honored his teacher, Madhusudan Vachaspati. And because of that, he could disclose to him deepest, most inner meanings of the scriptures. And Jiva Goswami became such a brilliant philosopher and scholar. He had such a mastery over all types of scriptures and all types of schools of thought. Madhusudan Vachaspati was so proud of him. And because he was such an exalted and popular teacher, he was spreading the word everywhere. I have never seen such a scholar with such humble, deep, devotional qualities as Jiva. And with that reputation as practically the greatest scholar in all of India, he went to Vrindavan. Now, usually, fame does something to a person's mind and heart. It's almost an irresistible temptation to become proud when we're famous, when we're powerful. But if we understand Vedaischa Sanabharahameva Vedra, Vedanta Krit Vedavadeva Jaham, if we understand the purpose of all the knowledge of the Vedas is Krishna, is God, is Bhagavan, then the more we learn, the humbler we become. That is actually the testimony that we are realizing the knowledge we're studying and receiving. And that was Jiva. He came to Vrindavan like a beggar to beg for service and blessings. And when he arrived, there was a great celebration of hearts. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, here was their nephew, the son of their late younger brother. And in those days in India, family was very expanded. I have seen in traditional families in India where you ask a child, you know, there's all the aunts and all the uncles and all the cousins, there's 20 in a room, 20 second generation, five sets of mothers and fathers, and I say, which is your mother and father and which is not? And they say, all of them. I know that, but which one? They don't care about this biological stuff. They say, they treat all the children in the family the same. There's no difference between an uncle, an aunt, and a mother and a father. So we can understand how Rupa and Sanatan were so intimately, affectionately connected to Jiva, and now he's come to Vrindavan. And now he's the greatest scholar in the world and such a philosopher. Lokanath Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, all these different acharyas, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, they were all greeting Jiva Goswami and blessing him. And he just wanted to serve them all. He approached Sanatana Goswami for initiation. Sanatana Goswami was the eldest brother. How many people would like a disciple like Jiva Goswami? But there was no sense of possessiveness. Sanatana Goswami said to Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami is a better spiritual master than me. Go to him. And Rupa Goswami considered Sanatana Goswami his spiritual master. But Sanatana Goswami said to Rupa Goswami, I want you to accept him as your... Okay, for your service I will accept. How did he accept him? He had Jiva Goswami cleaning utensils, washing pots. And in those days there was no running hot water. Washing pots was really washing pots. You're cooking on fire and it's all black and you have to scrub it and everything gets on you. So he was scrubbing pots. He was washing and sweeping the floors. He would massage Rupa Goswami's feet. And when Rupa Goswami would be writing, there was no computers or typewriters. There was not even paper and pens. He would have to go out and get leaves of trees, palm leaves, or the bark of trees, and go through a whole process of making it into paper. And then he had to make little pens, or you just carve it into the paper, and he had to go and dig in the ground and find minerals and herbs to make different types of ink. In this way, he was doing the most menial services that literally anyone and everyone could do. There was no fame or prestige in washing floors or sweeping pathways. But he did it with the same enthusiasm, with the same gratitude, as if he was studying or teaching the highest philosophical principles or the most intimate details of spiritual love from the scriptures. It was all the same. It was service. He had such gratitude. For some years, he just did that. He never expected anything else. And when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami saw this is his character, and not only they were witnessing his character, but through Jiva Goswami, they wanted to teach the world. If we want to understand spiritual truth, the seed of true realization can only take root and sprout in a heart that is fertile with humility, gratitude, amanina manadina, respect, and an eagerness to serve. Rupa Goswami initiated him. He's now Jiva Goswami. And Rupa Goswami was writing books and he was having Jiva help him. One day, Rupa Goswami was sitting, and it was a very hot summer day. And Jiva had a little fan and was fanning him. Anybody could do that. But he considered it such a privilege that he wasn't qualified for. I get to fan Rupa Goswami. And at that time, he was writing the Mangala Charana, the introduction to the Bhakti Dasamrita Sindhu. And a very great, exalted scholar and devotee came into the kutir. Balabhata, the great Balabhacharya. And Rupa Goswami saw him as such a worshipable elder. He honored him and respected him with profound love. And Balabhacharya reciprocated. He said, I see that you're writing this. May I see it? He looked at it. He said, there are some corrections I can make if you give me the manuscript. And Rupa Goswami was so grateful. Yes, take this manuscript. Correct it to your heart's content. Meanwhile, Jiva Goswami is fanning. And Balabhata went to the Yamuna to take his bath, the Yamuna River. And Jiva Goswami, he decided to follow him. And he brought some pots that I'm going to collect some water. And while he was there, Balabhata saw him, blessed him. Jiva Goswami said, what is it that you see that needs to be corrected in my guru's book? And he explained. And Jiva Goswami very respectfully, but with great confidence, he explained how actually it's perfect. It doesn't need to be corrected. And when Balabhacharya heard the incredible, precise scholarship and explanation and reason of Jiva Goswami, he went back to Rupa Goswami and he gave him the manuscript back. And Rupa Goswami said, why are you giving it back to me? I want you to correct it. Balabhata said, please tell me something about this Jiva. He said, he's my nephew, he's here, he's washing pots, he's doing so many, he's sweeping. He said, such a great scholar, such a self-realized soul, and he has so much respect and for everyone and so much love for you. He explained to me the inner meaning of what you wrote, and now I understand it's perfect. You don't need me to edit. Please keep it. I congratulate you for having a disciple like Jiva Goswami. And with great happiness, Balabhacharya left. A few minutes later, Jiva Goswami arrives. Rupa Goswami said, Balabhapata is my senior. He's a great person who I honor and worship. I was honored by his offer to improve my book. And you have the audacity to correct him? This false pride is the greatest obstacle to loving Krishna. A person with this false pride cannot, in a proper state, live in Vrindavan. You should go from this place. Now, Jiva Goswami could have debated him. He could have explained his reasonings and everything like that. But he just accepted it. Yes, I am too proud. Yes, I don't deserve to live in Vrindavan. Yes, for my purification, I should go. So he left. And on his way out, going to the east, on the banks of the river Yamuna is a place that is, even today, visited by pilgrims as Nandakat. Even today, it's a very lonely place in the Yamuna River, very far, far from towns or villages. What to speak of 450 years ago? It was an isolated jungle with some little villages not too far away, very tiny. And he lived in a little hut made out of dried leaves. And there, he was constantly trying to purify himself by chanting God's names. And he was fasting. One time, Sanatan Goswami was wandering through Braj, through the Vrindavan area, and he came to a village at near Nandagat. And they told him, there is a sadhu who's living here. We've never seen anyone like him. He's so effulgent with love and with devotion and with compassion, and he's always crying in ecstasy of love for Krishna and separation. And the only thing he eats is some villagers come. He won't go anywhere for food. We will come to him. We'll give him some raw flour, and he'll mix a tiny bit of it with some water from the river and drink it, and maybe a root or a herb. We've never seen anyone like this. Sanatan was thinking, this must be Jiva Goswami. So he went there and he entered into the hut, and Jiva Goswami was so weak he could hardly walk. He saw Sanatan and humbled himself. And when Sanatan Goswami understood why he was there, he went all the way back to Vrindavan and said to Rupa Goswami, that one of the primary teachings of Lord Chaitanya is Jiva Doya. To have compassion for all jivas, all living beings. So please be compassionate to our jiva. And he explained the situation. And when Rupa Goswami heard about that, he went all the way to Nandagad and personally brought Jiva Goswami back to his kutir and personally nursed him to health. Now, why this story? It may sound to some like it's extreme. But Rupa Goswami, he knew fully, to the very core of his heart, that Jiva Goswami had no pride. That whatever he was doing with true love and respect. But Rupa Goswami wanted to teach the world by giving us the chance to observe how Jiva Goswami responded to this situation. And then he gave him, and all the Goswamis began to give him more and more responsibility. Because in spiritual life, the more we understand that Krishna is our ability, Krishna is our intelligence, Krishna is the proprietor of every living being, and Krishna is the proprietor of everything that exists. Let me just be an instrument of Krishna's grace. The more we have that understanding, the more we can actually take responsibility. Radhika Raman Prabhu was comparing Srila Prabhupada to Jiva Goswami. Before Srila Prabhupada established his movement, he wrote a beautiful prayer to Krishna on the Jaladuta. That I have no ability to communicate your message to these people, but you have that ability. Only if you give me the power to speak and only if you give them the power to understand can there be success. Let me be your puppet and allow me to dance as you want me to dance. That is the spirit of a Vaishnava. So Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami taught the world through this wonderful little story about the character of a devotee. Rupa Goswami personally, with his own hands, made a deity, Radha Damodar. And personally entrusted the care of that deity to Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami, his service to Radha Damodar was his service to his guru. And when you water the root of the tree, you're offering nourishment to every part of the tree. By his service to that little murti of Radha Damodar, he understood he was doing the highest benefit for the whole creation. And Narahari Chakravarti tells a few very sweet, intimate details. He would be absorbed in cooking for Radha Damodar, in dressing Radha Damodar, in singing for Radha Damodar. And sometimes he would be in another room and he'd hear a flute playing and he'd come before his little deity of Radha Damodar and he'd see Damodar smiling upon him and playing his flute. Damodar not only was playing the flute but he was dancing to the melodies of his own flute, just for the pleasure of Jiva Goswami, his devotee. He would offer him food, and he would see Damodara with his actually physically eating the food. They would have discussions together, very personal. And he considered it all the mercy of Rupa Goswami, the mercy of Sanatana Goswami. He wasn't thinking, I'm so advanced that Krishna's singing and dancing and playing flutes for me. But rather, by the mercy of my guru, by the mercy of Rupa Goswami, just see how much mercy I'm getting. That was his life. Trinadapi suniche natarori vasi hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Lord Chaitanya taught to be humble like a blade of grass, more tolerant, forgiving than a tree, to offer all respect to others and not to expect any for oneself. Then we could chant God's name constantly with love. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstitaiva bhajamyam. As we approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates and reveals himself. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all these great acharyas of Vrindavan, the very personifications of knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Seeing the character of Jiva Goswami, they entrusted the entire responsibility of the future of the lineage of Sri Chaitanya to him. One time when Rupa Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, he called Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and all these devotees to inquire from him about his writings. Haridas Thakur was there. And when they heard his explanations, they all unanimously accepted, we've never seen any scholar, we've never seen any poet, we've never seen any philosopher like this Rupa Goswami. His realizations, his love, his compassion, and his humility. Lord Chaitanya asked everyone to bless him. And they asked, how is this possible? Swarup Ramadhar Goswami said, how is it that Rupa Goswami so intimately knows your heart? Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That Krishna is Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who has the Mahabhav, the sweetness of the ecstatic love, the source of all love, of Sri Radha. Who could understand that? Chaitanya Charitamrita describes a verse that Madhavendra Puri had spoken, and it said, the only three people for all time who could ever understand this verse is Krishna and Radha and Madhavendra Puri. Lord Chaitanya was Radha and Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya revealed all these secrets to Rupa Goswami and entrusted him with his mission. And when they asked, how is this possible? Lord Chaitanya answered, when I met Rupa Goswami at Prayag, his humility, his sincerity were so great that I embraced him. And upon embracing him, I invested the rasa, the love, and the knowledge of that love, and the knowledge how to achieve that love, I invested my own potency in his heart. And it was that that Rupa Goswami invested in Jiva Goswami. We heard what a leader he was. What an author, what a poet. What a diplomat. It's so beautiful. We hear Radhika Raman read, he spoke from the will, or from the deed that the Mughal Emperor Akbar entrusted land, valuable land of temples, to Jiva Goswami. And he described him as this poor, worshipable person. This is the king. He's poor, he has nothing physically, but he's worshipable. And Akbar, he's a man of the Muslim faith, but he gave the highest honor and love and respect to Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami gave such high love and respect to him. Everything he did was endowed with such compassion and such perfection of empowerment. Jiva Goswami never took credit for anything, because he was giving all credit to Krishna. He kept getting empowered more and more and more and more. As soon as we take credit ourselves, we block that flow of grace. Srinivasacharya was disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But when he first came to Vrindavan, he was met by Jiva Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami sent him to Jiva Goswami to learn not only the study of the scriptures, but how to understand them. Narottam Das Thakur came to Vrindavan, became a disciple of Lokanath Goswami, who sent him to Jiva Goswami. Shamananda Pandit was a disciple of Hridoy Chaitanya in Orissa, who sent him to study under Jiva Goswami. And interestingly, someone like Shamananda Pandit, he was learning all of these philosophies and all these rasic loving sentiments of devotion, but under Jiva Goswami's instruction, he would go out and throughout the day and sweep the paths in the forest. And in those days, brooms didn't have handles. You just got on your hands and knees and swept. And he was just so happy. Whether he's writing literatures for the world to read, or whether he's sweeping, whatever service, he was so grateful. And these three great personalities became so empowered. Jiva Goswami received a letter from Janava Devi, she was the most exalted acharya of our whole lineage at that time. When she came to Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami bowed to her, Raghunath Das Goswami bowed to her, and it was Jiva Goswami who hosted her. And she asked Jiva Goswami, send your students to Bengal to teach. After Rupa and Sanatan departed from this world, they entrusted the treasure of all the literatures that they wrote to Jiva Goswami. Understand, there were no photocopiers, there were no printing presses, there were not even any scribes in Vrindavan. It was a forest. Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhu, Ujvala Nila Mani, Upadesamrita, Hari Bhakti Vilas, all of these incredible books. There was just one original copy of all of them. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, all their literatures that they wrote. There was just one copy. And it was a lifetime of work. And with full confidence, they entrusted them to Jiva. He was the caretaker. And he sent those books with Srinivas Narottam and Shamananda to Bengal. He established the first distribution of the transcendental literature. He sent them to be copied. He also sent them out to spread the inner treasures of the bhakti of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan to the world. He understood this, the heart of Lord Chaitanya. He was living at the Radha Damodar temple. He was teaching them at the Radha Damodar temple, and from Radha Damodar temple he dispatched them to the world. And each of them affected tens and millions of people's hearts in their areas. Jiva Goswami secured properties, 400,000 verses he composed, over 25 books. Just carving each verse into palm leaves. No air conditioners, no heating system. Just wearing a little loincloth. This is the life of Jiva Goswami. And yes, when Srila Prabhupada was preparing himself to take the message of Lord Chaitanya, pure love, prema bhakti, to the whole world, he went to the temple of Jiva Goswami approximately 6 years to prepare himself. The place where Rupa and Sanatan and all the Goswamis and all the greatest of the saints of Vrindavan would gather there regularly at Radha Damodar temple. It was their headquarters. It was their meeting place. Why? Because they all had such affection on Jiva Goswami, and they wanted to go there to bless him and entrust him with their full confidence and their grace. So Srila Prabhupada, with all his humility, went for the same purpose. He would pray to Jiva Goswami, he would pray to Rupa Goswami to give him the blessings to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. And I remember in 1971, I happened to be living on the bank of the Yamuna in Vrindavan. under a little tree, and Prabhupada came. And he came with about 30 or 40 of his students. And there were a couple Indians. All the others were from America and Europe. And I remember how he was telling that Radha Damodar Temple is the spiritual heart of our sampradaya and the spiritual heart of the world. And I went to his rooms, and in those days they were just tiny little clay rooms. It's like clay floor, clay walls. Very, very tiny, very simple. And one time Prabhupada, some years later, was in Los Angeles, where some wonderful quarters, very comfortable, were arranged for him. And he told one of his students, "You have seen my little rooms in Radha Damodar. I'm longing to be back there. But for me to go back there would be sense gratification, because I could better serve my Guru Maharaj by being an instrument of his compassion to the world from here. So why would anyone be longing for that little tiny primitive room? Had no running water. You had to go to a well to get water. Because the sanctity, this is the place of Jiva Goswami, the place of Rupa Goswami. In this way, Srila Prabhupada was teaching us. What is of true value? What is real wealth? Real wealth is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. That is the highest experience, and it's the means of receiving the highest experience. I'm happy to inform you that my time is over. On this day of the disappearance day of Sri Jiva Goswami, by hearing, let us place on the altar of our sincerest aspiration, following in the footsteps of these great souls. Jnana vijnana triptatma. When knowledge is put into practice, there is realization, there is direct experience. Jiva Goswami, he taught the simple seed messages of Lord Chaitanya and expanded it into 400,000 verses. Unity in diversity. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajganam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Yesterday, Radhika Raman gave beautiful class about the oneness of the Supreme and the oneness of everything that exists in the Supreme. and the limitless variegatedness that are within that oneness. It is that oneness that unifies everything and everyone. And it is the variegatedness that facilitates never-ending varieties of ways of loving exchanges. That is prema. Mukti is the realization of the oneness with the Supreme. Prema is the fullest realization of the oneness in the Supreme, because within that oneness we realize the beauty and the sweetness of Krishna. And we can taste that beauty and taste that sweetness and reciprocate forever. And we can see the beauty and sweetness of Krishna in every living entity and everything that exists. Jiva Goswami has explained this simple loving principle in ways wherein anybody from any perspective or any outlook, if they just hear with an open mind, they will be convinced and surrender. Srila Jiva Goswami Ki Jai. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, devotees are requested to please proceed to Yamuna for Yamuna Aarti, followed by offerings, Pushpanjali offering at Radha Damodar temple.